Last February, last month, I gave the title for the 20th of March as Irish Missionaries to the Continent. I intended to explore the stories of Columbkill, Columbanus, Gall, Virgilius, and other Irish monks who went to the continent as Christian ministries between the 6th and 8th centuries. These monks left a huge legacy behind them. The great cathedral in Salzburg is dedicated to Virgilius. The town of St. Gallen in Switzerland is called after Gall. In the 6th century, Columbanus founded a monastery in Bobbio. At that time, it was in northern Italy. It's now, I think, part of France. But that lasted from the 6th to the 19th century and was only closed by government decree. The monks left Ireland with a burning ambition to bring Christianity to Europe. Some of them left because of family disputes, perhaps even under a bit of a cloud. What struck me was that no one asked them for passports, residency permits, or work visas. But when I came to write the address, looking back at a golden period of Irish history seemed unimportant in the face of what is happening in Europe today. So I hope people are not going to get disheartened by this, what's happening in Europe, but I felt I had to say something about it. At the end of the Second World War, the European Union was established to prevent further wars in Europe. And since 1945, Europe has enjoyed a prolonged period of peace and a corresponding growth in their prosperity. Europe has ensured an equitable and reliable supply of cheap food for us. We, living on the western fringe of Europe, since our membership of the EU, we have become more open, more outward-looking people. And individual personal freedoms have flourished in Ireland since we joined the EU. For almost 90 years, peace has prevailed. But now Europe is experiencing a war. It's a war where one of the combatants has a nuclear arsenal. It's being fought in a country that has nuclear power stations. 36 years ago, it was a country that had the worst nuclear accident in the history of mankind. As we came to the end of the last millennium, scientists intensified their warning about the dangers posed by an increasing world temperatures. The first international conference on climate change was held in 1995. During the following quarter of a century, other meetings took place, one every year, and at those meetings, governments made pledges about how we were going to change. Few of those promises were fulfilled. They all failed when it came to the fact they were going to cost us money. Perhaps it was Greta Thunberg's taunt of more blah, blah, blah. But in 2021, there did seem to be a dawning realization that we had to change. It was imperative. And the developed countries began to take action. And the world seemed united in their commitment to lessen our footprint on a very distressed planet. This millennium, the last 22 years, has been very eventful in terms of history. We tend to forget so much has happened. There's 9/11, the financial crash. America went to war with Iraq and sent troops into Afghanistan. The Arab Spring blossomed briefly, but it was defeated by a great deal of brutality. and a destabilized Middle East, the return of the Taliban in Afghanistan, poverty caused by climate change. All of these came together and created a tsunami of refugees seeking a place in Europe and a better life. And then, to put the icing on the cake, in 2020 came the pandemic. Just before the pandemic broke out, this congregation set up a refugee welcoming committee. It was a government scheme. We would agree to support a Syrian family for the first 2 years in Ireland. In a very short time, we had raised the required €10,000. And we were ready to receive and support a family from Syria based in a refugee camp in the Lebanon. The plight of Syrian families, bombed, their homes bombed into dust, awoke widespread empathy and sympathy. COVID put that scheme on hold. But we continue to work with the Irish Refugee Council. And last year, with the easing of COVID, we saw the increase in refugees coming from Afghanistan. And we are host to one refugee from Afghanistan who's making excellent progress in settling into Ireland. But now war has broken out in the Ukraine. And literally millions of refugees have left the Ukraine for the safety of Europe. Irish people have rightly opened their hearts, their homes, and their purse strings to help these women and children. This latest flood of displaced people means that refugees from Afghanistan are largely forgotten. The Syrian refugees have taken a huge step down the ladder of our concern. And that doesn't even consider the situation of refugees in Palestine and the victims of war in Yemen. We humans are such a contradiction. We are social beings. We need one another. And we saw how much we need one another during the pandemic. Yet we fight war after war. Why is it that we can't learn the lesson that war is futile? Almost 3,000 years ago, the Jewish prophet Micah wrote longingly of what peace might look like. He wrote, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." The Buddha said, "Never does hatred cease by hating in return. Only through love can hatred come to an end. Victory breeds hatred. The conquered dwell in sorrow and resentment." When armies go to war, it is often with prayers to God to bless the war. Soldiers march to war to the beat of music. What an insult to God, and what a travesty of Christian teaching. The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu understood the implications of war. And again, he's writing 2,500 years ago. He said, I think this is really important when you think of the leaders of war today. "The mark of a great leader is that he goes to battle gravely, with sorrow, with great compassion, as if he were attending a funeral." I'm just going to read that again. "The mark of a great leader is that he goes to battle gravely, with sorrow and great compassion, as if he were attending a funeral." Modern leaders certainly ignore those words of Lao Tzu. They go to war with a television broadcast or address a stadium packed with people who are not allowed to speak the truth as they see it. The adage that truth is the first casualty of war still holds true. America began the Iraqi war with Operation Shock and Awe. It sent troops into Afghanistan with a promise to support the people of Afghanistan for however long their support is needed. They stayed until it was politically expedient for them to leave. They didn't leave because the Afghanistans were safe. Russia, of course, is not involved in a war at all. Their troops are on special military maneuvers. They're assisting their neighbors. And anyone who dares to contradict this lie will at best end up in jail. Because all political opposition has been silenced in Russia for the past 22 years. The Jewish prophet, when he wrote about soldiers beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, if only it were that simple. It's impossible to beat a cluster bomb into a plow. And anti-aircraft artillery aren't much use for pruning vines. In November in Glasgow, less than 4 months ago, world leaders committed themselves to being more caring of the earth. It was seen that we were in our last chance saloon. The time had come when the developed world would wean itself from using depending on fossil fuels. During the past month, planes and artillery have pounded the land of Ukraine with bombs. There's constant black smoke from homes burning unchecked. Nature and human life and animal lives are being destroyed and the land poisoned. And last week, amid all of this, Boris Johnson, the host of the climate conference in Glasgow, went to visit Saudi Arabia, requesting that they increase their petrol production. It's a dark scenario, isn't it? And we do need to think of ways that we can get through this time. We can't bury our heads in the sand. We must take care of our mental health, though, as well. So I would say, don't binge watch reports from the war zone. Keep up to date with what is happening once a day at most. We must not encourage despair in our lives. Remember that Russian soldiers are being killed in a war that is not of their making. Russian mothers and fathers are losing their children. And Russian tears, Ukrainian tears, Afghan tears, Syrian tears are all exactly the same. They are the outward sign of intense pain. The only people who win in a war are the manufacturers of arms. They always have. Unfortunately, they always will. We have a duty to help the victims of war in any way we can. We should welcome the refugees and continue to welcome them in the long term. We must be generous providing aid for them. 1,500 years ago, when Europe was in the Dark Ages, Ireland was a centre of Christianity and learning. Irish monks brought the light of Christianity to a Europe in turmoil. I hope once again that Ireland will live its Christian values in how we care for people who come to us for sanctuary and those who are in need from war. It is important to make time to for your spiritual practices, whatever that is. Come to church, take time to pray, meditate or reflect. Try not to let the war blind you to the goodness and wonder of life. Because if we all get very depressed and down and miserable, we can't and won't be able to help others. More than ever, we need to care for the earth. And this caring for the earth is a two-way process. If we care for the earth, it will care for us in return and heal us. Never underestimate the restorative power of being in nature. Right now, the earth, despite all the badness in the world, is coming back to life. Plant something. Watch it grow and blossom. That is the best antidote to the destruction of war. And these dark days will pass. We pray that peace will soon return to Europe and the world. We pray for peace, beginning with ourselves and then spreading out to everyone and everyone else we share this planet with. Amen.